Ooh, even got that up. Excellent. So as Dave said, we're going to continue the series on convergence. We're going to be looking at spiritual gifts. Jesus is our model for this life on earth. And although fully God, he chose not to grasp. I really like that that word for describing it. Chose not to grasp equality with God. And so while on earth, he was fully human, only doing what he saw the Father doing. And his power came from the Holy Spirit working through him. And if we follow this model, our lives should be founded on that, on three legs. One of faith in God, which is something that we continue to work out. One of truth, which we have from the scriptures. And as we grow and deepen our relationship with God, this truth replaces the lies of the world in our lives. And that third leg of power, the power from the Holy Spirit that works through the spiritual gifts that he gives us. And as I learnt as a young kid in Brazil, if you've got a three-legged stool, if you only sit on one leg of it, it's quite unstable. If you sit on two, you'll still fall off. But it's only stable when you put those three legs on the ground and they're firmly in contact with it. So in this series, we're focusing on that third leg, the power of the Spirit, more specifically the spiritual gifts which we are given through which the Holy Spirit works to accomplish his purposes in the world. So God is choosing to work through us. And that point Dave made about the fact he uses just the ordinary person to bring glory to him, I think it's really, really important. So 1 Peter 4, it says, each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So Peter separates spiritual gifts into perhaps two simple groups, speaking and serving. First question, what are the advantages and disadvantages of this? So if you want to get into, I don't know, groups of five or six and have a quick discussion on that, we will see what people think. You want to join with these guys?
Theo, you need to speak up. Come in. Right.
Hang on.
Let's project.
Let's get this start again.
In our group, we looked at the question whether it's the separation of the spiritual gifts into two, the speaking and serving, and this gives a clear delineation between the two ways of between the two types of spiritual gifts. And we went through the list, and you could see there were some which were sitting on the fence. It could either be serving and speaking, but there was no clarity as such.
Mm-hmm. No real advantage, one or the other, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you can split the gifts, but there are, because it's fairly simplistic splitting, yeah. it can be some disadvantages with it. Any other thoughts on advantages? No? Okay. Any disadvantages people could think of? Other than...
Go on. The one disadvantage was looking at them in isolation, and yet... you know, the gifts, if we are thinking of the body of Christ, they all work together.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so separating them could give an incorrect way of how they are meant to operate. Yeah. And also that when we went through the list, many of them were both.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so,
yeah. Well, give an example of one you felt was best.
So, you know, like leadership, you know, where is it, or administration, or healing, those are the ones we couldn't clearly say speaking or serving.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else anyone wants to add, or any other thoughts? No? Okay. I guess the one thing I quite liked about it was the fact that in both of them, it points to, you know, when you if the gift is speaking, then you're speaking the words of God. And if it's serving, then you're doing it in the strength that God gives you. And so it's pointing back to God, and that's the source where you get it's where the gift comes from, and it's the source of why you're doing it and what you're doing it. So it's not about you, it's about what you do. So today we're looking at the love gifts, and that's according to how John Thompson and others split them up. What we're going to do is we're going to see John's thoughts on this.
Welcome to session 5, and welcome back to our conversation about convergence. We're halfway on our journey, and as we briefly describe each of the spiritual gifts in these next 3 sessions, I want to give you biblical context, maybe one or more biblical examples, and then talk about how we might see this particular gift in action today. We're going to start with the love gifts. Remember what I said? Love gifts manifest the love of God in very practical ways. We find some of these included in 1 Corinthians 12, 27 and 28. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, then prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helps, of guidance, and different kinds of tongues. Now, I don't know if you caught it, that word guidance is another word for administration. I love this gift definition that someone else wrote. He wrote, the gift of administration or guidance involves a capacity to manage details of service functions so as to support and free those in leadership to prioritize their efforts. Now let me stop here. This is very important that we don't misunderstand administration. This is not a leadership gift. This is a love gift. This allows leaders and visionaries and pastors to get on with what they're called to do. I've seen this go haywire in so many places. You see, administrators and guidance people need to come beside. They need to be the best second chair leaders they can be. Here's a few telltale signs of this gift that others have noticed. You love organizing and streamlining and clarifying steps. Leaders know that you have their back. And let me just say this too, in the middle of this conversation. What's the difference between administration in just everyday life and the spiritual gift of administration? We'll never forget that you know it's a spiritual gift when you have profound spiritual joy when you do it. It produces spiritual results. And at the heart of it, you are doing things for the kingdom. Now, the second one we saw and we read in 1 Corinthians is the gift of helps. I love, again, this definition. The gift of helps refers to the capacity to unselfishly meet the needs of others in very practical ways. People with the gift of helps are the backbone of every single local church. And remember, you'll know that you have helps if you just love to serve in small or large ways and see other people flourish. Now, the third love gift is mercy. You can read about that in Romans 12:8. This gift is about pity, compassion, showing gracious favor. Mercy sees what someone needs even when they may not see it themselves. The gift of mercy is not just emotion. It's a deep down calling. It's divine love under the power of the Spirit. It's practicing compassion in Jesus' name and bringing glory to God the Father. Tabitha in Acts 9:36 is a great example. Now, how is the gift of mercy different than the gift of helps? Well, the difference can be seen in the primary recipient of these two gifts. The gift of helps is directed towards Christian leaders in order to release them to do what they want to and they're called to do. Where mercy tends to concentrate on a person or a group of people. Now, let me just explain this. People with the gift of mercy just find absolute love and passion. They sense Jesus closely when they are with someone who's disenfranchised or deeply broken or struggling. If you have the gift of mercy, you just cannot help yourself. You find great joy when you're around the broken because you know that Jesus loves them so deeply. Oh, and can I mention this? Some of these gifts are person-centric gifts, and others of these gifts are actually group-centric gifts. And like I say in the bonus feature, you got to watch for gift tension here, because some people have responsibility one-on-one, and others have a deep priority towards a whole group. Well, the last one is giving. In Romans 12:8, Paul wrote, if you have this spiritual gift, if giving is your gift, then give generously. Now, this doesn't replace the call for general generosity, tithing and giving and offerings. Giving is something above and beyond. It's a gift orientation. I love what one author again wrote when he said, the gift of giving refers to the capacity to give liberally, to meet the needs of others, and yet to do so with a purity of motive, which senses that the giving is simply sharing of what God has already given to them. If you have the gift of giving, you are perpetually ready to give time and money and resources away to see what God is doing and to give into what God is doing. We're all called to give sacrificially. In my opinion, actually, we're all called to tithe and do above and beyond. But those with the gift of giving find, and here's the key, find profound worship experiences, joy when you give. And of course, we're all called to do that, but there's a longevity to this. Maybe another insight for everyone talking about gifts in general. All of us are called to give, or all of us are called to have faith, or all of us are supposed to preach in this sense, or evangelize. But when you feel called to do it, and there's joy to it, and you do it over a long period of time, and in that long period of doing it, you don't feel burnt out or broken all the time, but you actually feel the connection with Christ and His church, there's a good chance that that's your gift. So that's the love gifts. Is that you? Are you looking across your group right now and going, oh my goodness, that is so that person across from you? Are you beginning to understand the difference between a second chair leader and a primary leader? Both equal in importance, but different roles. Are you beginning to see how the love gifts demonstrate the love of God in a very pure way? Is it starting to dawn on everyone that if you actually are able to do it over a long period and find joy, it might be a gift? And let me just end with this. Why are we spending time on this? Because spiritual gifts are the guaranteed place of power to bring the kingdom of God on earth. Jesus used them, and so must we. Have a great conversation.
So the love gifts are administration or guidance, helps, mercy, and generosity. And they show the love of God in very practical ways. They are keys to the right working of the church, being supportive as they build up what God has accomplished and is establishing through the leadership of the local church. And as has been said before, spiritual gifts are a gift from God. They're not a talent that you're born with, or a skill that you've learnt or you develop. And John, in his book, talks about the three dots to identifying if you have a gift. So there were 5 weeks of term left after my finals at university. To my parents' disappointment, I chose to stay at university and enjoy myself. A friend asked me to help him organise a March for Jesus roadshow. And together we organised the event while others were fronting the event and so on. And I hugely enjoyed organising the event. I found I had lots of ideas and suggestions for it. The friend who I was helping commented on this. And on the morning of the event, just before things kicked off, he and I found ourselves walking down a straight street from the centre of Loughborough, town centre, to where we were set up. And we could see the stage and everything was set up and it was ready. And he and I looked at each other and commented, "This is great. It's come together. Thank you, Lord." And to me, that's one dot. In preparing for the talk, I thought to when I was 16 and the leaders of the Urban Saints group I went to invited me to help with leading it. The group had moved from being on a Sunday afternoon and consisting largely of children and young people who already attended church with their families to meeting on a Monday evening and drawing children from the local, from the estate local to where we met. And those kids had little involvement with the church. As we grappled with the increase in numbers and how to do what we wanted to do and the size of venue that we had and with the number of volunteers that we had, I suggested that we split the group into two. One half would enjoy a game in the main hall, while the other half it would be in groups to hear the Bible story. Halfway through, we would swap. And so I and the friend who organised the games, we had it easy. But for the other leaders, they found themselves preparing two sessions a week for the kids. And it was a bit full on. But for the 2 years before I went to university, it worked. It allowed us to serve the kids, showing them the love of Jesus, with the volunteers that we had and in the space that we had. Another dot. And just after I started working full-time for Dayspring, Dave formalised his idea of reaching our friends through telling stories of faith in a laid-back setting. His vision of Cabaret Connection, I expect, was with him some time, but with me coming on board, we were able to deliver it. And so a few months later, it was 7:10, we were ready to go. The doors opened at 7:30 and the event kicked off at 8:00. The act had arrived, we were fully sound-checked. And I looked around the event, around the venue, and it was just as I imagined it in my mind's eye as I was putting it together. I found the hairs on the back of my neck were rising, as they seldom do when I'm in sung worship. And I was thanking God for bringing it together and expectant as to what the Spirit was going to do. A third dot. And in those three cases, I hope it comes across the joy I had in doing what I did. How I came alongside leaders and helped them and built the kingdom and are doing spiritual things. In Acts 9, we have this story, which John mentioned. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing and helping the poor. About that time, she became ill and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydia was near Joppa. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydia, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning towards the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. So what do you think Dorcas's gifts or Tabitha's gifts were? Was it helps, was it mercy, or was it generosity? Which fits best, and why might it be useful to understand this? More time in your groups. Okay, let's hear how your discussions have got on and what people's thoughts are. So, breaking the... Breaking the questions down, did you come to any conclusion on which fits best?
For us, it was mercy and generosity. Yeah.
Mercy and generosity. Okay. Why that? Perhaps give you the mic, I think.
I mean, this was just my personal opinion, but I thought that we agreed on mercy and generosity because we were like, she wasn't specifically helping someone with a task. She was more recognising a need and supporting it and supporting the need of the widows. I said it sort of generosity would imply that she'd possibly given up a lot of her resources, and she may or may not have done that. What she definitely had done was supported a group who were in need and identified a need of a specific group who were possibly slightly outcast within society. indicating that she sort of had mercy on that specific group of people.
Okay, yeah. Any other thoughts? Sorry, Sasha?
Sarah got it.
I can't remember now. So I think we were, first of all, trying to remember the helps one. And then we came up, so we, you know, it's the giving, you know, helps us the giving and also mercy. It had mercy in it. But we said for Dorcas, what was the motivation for giving? Was it that mercy led her to give? So we thought, yeah, you know, she's got that. And she gave quite, you know, there was a lot of evidence of that, so there was generosity.
Yeah.
So we said those two were dominant in her. But then also the helps as well, given how we defined helps, helps had those two in them. Helps had mercy and generosity. How we understood from what we had was...
So what did you understand so helps to be?
Helps has mercy and giving. And so okay. We came back to our previous understanding that the gifts merge. It's hard to separate and deal with one independently.
Yeah, through her mercy and generosity, she was able to help others.
Yeah, more precisely.
The starting point. Where did it start from? That's what we painted down. So I Googled it. Google says mercy.
Google's always right, isn't it? So you're saying you were looking at what was the motivation behind what she did, so to define it, yeah. Because the other thing as well, if I don't know if you noticed in the video, but John Thompson would say that helps are things that people do within the church, and their primary focus is to help the leadership in the church through doing that. Whereas mercy giving is something that people do one-on-one or to people groups, and that's where they're showing grace and favour to individuals. And so, and that can be inside or outside of the church as well, obviously. So, any other thoughts or anyone want to add? Tony, you?
Well, the simple answer to the question is yes. She had them all.
Had them all, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that you can argue that. She was showing mercy because she was helping widows and things. She was doing things that were helping the local church in how they served and showed the love of God. And she was generous in what she did. Yeah. And I think the point you made about understanding where the focus behind what you do comes from is useful in understanding gifts and how you do that. Does anyone want to add anything? Yes, Steve.
On to the second point. No, we just discussed in our group that it was quite helpful to be made to think about which one it fell into, because it then highlighted to us that you can help people in different ways and from different motivations, but they're still all gifts from God and they're still all useful and valid. So you might not feel like you're very good at generosity, but you might feel like you're very good at helps or vice versa. And then it's sort of reassuring that you go, okay, yeah, I'm very good at helping in this specific way, and that's a gift from God. And the fact that I'm not so good at helping in this other way, well, there are other people who have that gift. I thought that was quite helpful.
Good. Glad you found it helpful. Thank you. And I think that is a good point, understanding where the different gifts you had and how, well, Sarah talked earlier about it all being part of the body of Christ and working together. It's very good. So in Romans 12, Paul writes, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So if we're giving, we're to give generously. If we're showing mercy, we're to do it cheerfully. And that is where, because it's a spiritual gift, you are able to do that. So helps, as I mentioned earlier, is practical service in the local church. It's doing the simple, messy things others avoid. John Thompson, as I said helps are directed towards Christian leaders. So Stephen and the other six who were chosen in Acts 6 to serve the widows. They were chosen to take care of the widows. They were there to ensure that the apostles did not forsake the ministry of the word and God. So they were doing something that was helps. Roy and John, every Sunday, they are here, help with putting away the chairs. I told Roy earlier, I wandered into the kitchen earlier and said, oh, I need a drink of water. And Roy was in the middle of making coffee, and he said to me, I can give you a coffee if you like. I said, oh, that'd be great. And he had the decaf, but he knew that I prefer to have caffeine at this time in the morning. And so while it was still brewing, he swapped things around and gave me a cup of coffee that I found very helpful.
Wait till you get
the voice. So with what Roy and John do with putting away chairs, I find that really helpful, especially when I'm serving on setup. I'm sure that Nigel and Simon do as well. I don't know whether you've noticed, but each week Peter does the visuals. And I think many of us would struggle to focus on doing that during the sung worship each week. We would rather be able to focus on the singing as we worship God. And when we started to meet in person following the pandemic, and then we got to a point where we decided we could serve tea and coffee safely, I was really appreciative when Karen Telfer said that she would like to help serve the drinks. And I appreciated her help, and she obviously continues to do that with others on the refreshment rota. And with Dawn last week, they cooked brunch for us all as well. So all of those little things that help us as a church, help us as a leadership, are a gift. Mercy is showing compassion and gracious favour to those in need inside and out of the church, usually one-to-one, but it can be to a people group. With both helps and mercy giving, we all need to do it. But if it's a spiritual gift, it's something you enjoy, you find God gives you the strength, and you do it cheerfully. If we try to do those things in our own strength, we will end up cynical and eventually burn out. And then, as John said, the gift of generosity is over and above tithing. We should all tithe, which I believe is a tenth or more, to the local church. Someone with the gift of generosity gives over and above that, often living life simply so they have more to give. Maybe putting money into a savings account each month so that when someone's washing machine goes bang and they can't afford to replace it, the money saved can be used to help. Nikki Gumbel and two friends were talking about their plans for the future as they left Cambridge University. Nikki mentioned his hope to go into church leadership sometime in the future. And the two friends there and then agreed to support him if he did that. One of them, Ken Costa, had a successful career in the City of London, and I have heard him speak on faith in the workplace. I'm sure that the support to Nikki and his family was more than just better holidays for him and a posher car and a bigger house. In the late 70s, Holy Trinity Brompton started a discipleship course meant to help those who were in the church. They found that people were inviting their non-Christian friends, and those friends were deciding to follow Jesus. And so Alpha was born. And what was once a discipleship course in one church, Nicky Gumbel took and repositioned it as a course for those outside the church. It spread across the nation and all over the world. Last week at the Pioneer Leaders Conference, I was in a seminar on chaplaincy, and there was someone there who was a volunteer chaplain in his local prison. Among the other things he did, he ran what he described as a continuous Alpha course. I wonder if Ken Costa's generosity played any part in the Alpha story. I expect it did. So, there we have the love gifts. They show the love of God in practical ways. They support the church and build up what God has accomplished and is establishing through the leadership. Are they things that float your boat? Are there a series of instances in your life where you can see the Holy Spirit work through you in administration, helping, showing mercy, being generous? Being about showing the love of God means that they are people-focused, even for something like administration, which is about helping the leadership by working the detail and allowing them to focus on ministry of the word, and through that, helping all the church. So that's all I have. Dave?
Yep, so next week, Ruth Ranger, who's chapter